Morgan, and many of you are wondering if that's his real name. No, it is not. We protect CADGI members. We never tell anyone how many CADGI members we have, where they're at, what their names are, anything. None of that information is given out, not even to other CADGI members. Now, we use the code name or the pseudonym of William Morgan simply because the name William Morgan is significant in the past of secret society called Freemasonry. William Morgan was murdered by Freemasons after having revealed, printed in a book, some of the secrets of the lodge, and this was done back in the 1800s. Of course, the Fraternity of Freemasons denies that they murdered William Morgan. However, their version differs significantly from the official version and from the proof and the evidence that we have spent many, many hundreds of man hours digging up. And one of these nights, we're going to do a program just entirely on the murder of William Morgan. Will, welcome back to the Hour of the Time.
Thank you, Bill. It's a pleasure to be here, and I'm really proud and happy to be here and doing what I'm doing.
You know, I don't think a lot of people realize that you're risking your life by doing this. The oath that you have taken, albeit because they were fraudulent, you thought that you were making an oath to the God of the Bible, and in fact, you were making an oath to Lucifer, which nullifies those oaths, but they still... The Brotherhood, the Order, the Illuminati, the Freemasons could still carry out the threat of those oaths, which is murder. Is that not correct?
Absolutely correct. No matter what I may personally feel about or what common law or the actual law may view about those oaths have taken, the Masons that are involved consider them to be absolutely applicable to any transgression. And they have been enforced, and bloody punishments that are part of the oath have happened to Masons before, and they will happen again, I'm sure.
Now, you are what degree? Let's get that out for the people in case we have some new listeners tonight. What degree are you?
I am a 32nd degree Freemason of the Scottish Rite of the Southern Jurisdiction of the United States.
And what is the official title of that degree?
The official title is the Sublime Prince of the Royal Secret, and that is not only the title of the degree, it is also the title of the ritual that the degree is conferred to. And just to show you how important that is, after going through the ritual and getting the degree conferred upon me, I could neither remember anything sublime or even remember what the secret was that they told me.
Why is it that you couldn't remember the secrets of the degree?
Well, that's a bit of a long story, and I won't go entirely into it, but it started off the day I was conferred, began at 6 o'clock in the morning, and they just rushed through it. There was no memory work to do, as in the Blue Lodge, where a person has to memorize the ritual and then give it back. You just sit there and receive in an audience-like capacity. When it came to swearing the oath, you merely held up your hand and said, "I do." You also did take that oath on kneeling on one knee, as you did in the Blue Lodge.
Now, we talked yesterday after we recorded the last program that aired, I believe Friday, on WRNO, and this will air on Monday on WRNO. It will air at a different date on WWCR. So if you're listening on WWCR, don't let these dates confuse you. But we talked, and I ask you specifically, if there was a part of Freemasonry where you raised your arm to the square, what was your reply?
Yes, there is a part where you raise your arm to the square. The first time I remember doing that action was in the second degree, when it was conferred upon me. You raise your right hand as if you're swearing in, actually it is exactly the same position as if you're swearing in a court of law. Your left hand is placed slightly upon the Holy Bible or whatever holy text that depending on the lodge you're in, and your right hand is held at a right angle with the arm extended, and an actual square, like an engineer square, is held around the elbow of the arm. You're swearing in a square within a square, so to speak, as the ritual says.
Now, if a Freemason were speaking in front of a group of what Masons call the profane, would it be fair to state that if the speaker stated something about when he raised his arm to the square, that this could be a recognition signal to notify other Freemasons in the audience that he was indeed a Freemason?
Knowing what I know, I can hardly see it as anything else. There's no square involved in any other oath swearing ceremony that I've ever heard of, ever, not in a court of law. Only a square is involved in Masonry. It's one of the primary tools that are symbolically referred to in all of the ritual of the Blue Lodge.
And many of you have heard this this statement made by someone that that you all listen to, and I want you to make that connection for yourselves. If you can't, if you can't make that connection for yourself, then there's no need to telling you any more about it anyway. Let's get into some of the ceremonies. How does this start? Is it begins in the Blue Lodge with the first degree of entered apprentice, and it goes up, and you've actually traversed 32
that is called the Mother Lodge from that time after, in specific reference to him personally. Now, once you get past the third degree, become a master mason, you are able to hold an officer, hold a chair as an officer inside the lodge, and you can spend 10 years until the chair as an officer. But after that, you can either go to the Scottish Rite or the Yorkish Rite. There's a fork in the road of masonry. And the Scottish Rite is by far the most popular and undoubtedly the most powerful.
Now, the York Rite is has 7 degrees. Is that true?
True. Yeah. The highest of which being the Knight Templar degree for all those people out there who think that the Knight Templar in no way associated with Masons. You're dead wrong, and you haven't done your homework.
In fact, the Knights Templar, when they first began as an organization on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, were not an order, commissioned, or ordained, or approved, or even recognized by any church, much less the Catholic Church, but were, in fact, an order of the mysteries. They began with 7 degrees, and the 7th degree was the highest degree. And later, as they added degrees, when the Knights Templar were persecuted and in fact, many of them were put to death. Others were driven into hiding in other countries. And in some of the countries, they just changed their names and continued the order. They eventually reached a number of degrees, which was 33. And I took that right out of a very old textbook on the secret societies, which we'll talk about in a later program, and we'll get into that. But what is the significance that you've been told of the system of degrees? Why do you have to go through this?
It's considered a road. It's considered a road to, quote-unquote, illumination. I really believe that it's more of a system of control and self-government. Lodges are pretty unique in America in that they are self-sustaining and self-governing, even with their own bit of enforcement. All lodges have been granted a charter from a Grand Lodge, and every Grand Lodge in this country has been granted a charter from the United States government to operate on its own and enforce its own laws and constitution. If a police officer or any law enforcement officer walks into a lodge while in session, he is not enough power, but that lodge immediately closes.
Now, this is something the American people don't know about. Now, if these are lodges, they're in states, they have nothing to do with the federal government. How could they receive a charter from the federal government saying that they're under their own laws? And how could it be the law enforcement officer would not have the authority to arrest or any of his other authorized duties in a Freemasonic lodge?
It beats the hell out of me, though. It's really a bit of a contradiction in terms. You have a government that has actually gone out and given government-type status to a completely and secret, and I think subversive organization right under its own nose. A similar thing can be seen in the Mormon Church, and in other secret societies that are not nearly so famous as Freemasonry itself. The government has, by granting this charter, I believe, undermined its own stability as a functioning organization.
Well, tell us about this charter. And tell us again what you said before. I don't want anyone to miss this because it's very important. It shows how a secret government can be formed It tells that these members of these secret societies literally have diplomatic immunity and can get away with whatever they want to get away with. Not only that, but they have their members sitting in the most powerful posts both within society on local levels and local cities, local counties and state governments. In the higher echelons of the military, and they permeate all the positions of control within the bureaucracy of the federal government. So tell us what this charter is again.
Okay, it is a document put out by the federal government, and it can be any government in the world. To my knowledge, every government in the world has granted a sovereign charter to the Grand Lodges under its jurisdiction. I really haven't done enough research to speak at length on the nature of the charter or what it exactly implies universally for Freemasonry, but I do know for a fact that a law enforcement officer, and we have many law enforcement officers in our lodge, from state troopers to policemen to military policemen, they're not cops when they walk into the lodge. They leave their power, their badges, and their guns outside, and they do so willingly. That's a pretty good example, but I think the best example comes from the Knights of Malta. And here's another one for you guys out there that haven't done your homework. I'm reading from the glossary of a book entitled Freemasonry, a Celebration of the Craft, which is put out by the craft itself. And it defines Knights of Malta as a Christian Masonic degree based upon the medieval knights' hospitalities and emphasizing the Christian value, Christian virtues. You can leave the Christian out of your life, but what's interesting about the Knights of Malta is they actually do have diplomatic immunity. As an organization, they can bring goods in and out of this country without going through customs, and they cannot be arrested or they cannot be detained or charged with any crime by any law enforcement officer in the country. They're above sovereign, as far as I know. They're above most government officials that are in the land.
That's the fact, and they actually carry diplomatic passports. I know several people personally who are members of the Knights, the Sovereign Order of the Military Knights of Malta. What happens when you're speeding down a highway and you're stopped by a law enforcement officer? What happens when he sees the Masonic emblem on your windshield?
Usually what you have is a direct turnaround in attitude. I myself am a young man. I've been hassled by cops a little bit. It seems like they always have cop attitude when they pull me over, but when they see the Masonic square encompasses on my car, and most importantly, when I flip out my... All Masons are taught secret signs and secret words and secret phrases. And this is some of the most babbling man keywords and phrases that will let this judge know that you are a Mason. And you can almost guarantee that he is a Mason too, or else he wouldn't have been able to lock down a lasting career in the judiciary.
That's correct. And that would explain why some people just don't seem to ever get prosecuted for anything, and others who may commit the same crime or a much lesser offense seem to be inordinately punished, given such a heavy burden of punishment, while others who have done the same thing receive either nothing or a pat on the wrist.
Brothers look out for each other. It's just the way the system works. It's a buddy system. It's a you scratch my back, I scratch your back. A fellow Mason, and any problem that he may encounter, treason and murder alone, but they must at their election, which means that even if a fellow Mason is a traitor to his country, we know that could never happen. He's a traitor to his country. His brother Mason has his own choice whether he wants to turn him in or not. He is not obligated to do so. And obeying the laws of Masonry above the laws of the land, he's probably not even going to consider it.
So, in other words, one way of infiltrating and controlling our society, our government, both on a local, state, and national level, Okay. When people come to apply for that job, who gets the job?
That's self-explanatory. The Masons get the job every time. Another part of it is that you will look after the interests of your brother Masons in whatever capacity they may be in. In fact, it could probably be construed that not giving the job to your brother Mason would bring serious repercussions if discovered inside the lodge, and may even be a violation of the oath.
There you go, folks. All of you who've been telling me that I'm full of crap and that I don't know what I'm talking about and that they haven't infiltrated and appointed their members below them and literally taken over all levels of society, both local, state, and federal, and the military, you just heard it from the lips of a 32nd degree Freemason. That is exactly how they do it, and that is exactly what has been done. You have to understand that since this country was conceived and brought into the honesty, their goal always, from the beginning, was to bring about a one-world totalitarian socialist government. Our forefathers knew full well the foibles of human nature. And this country was described in their own words as the great experiment. And the experiment, folks, was to find out if we truly could be responsible, could rule ourselves, would not give in to the foibles of human nature and give our country and our individual freedoms and rights away. But they knew when they did it that that's exactly what would happen because they were probably the best at understanding human nature of anyone that I've ever read. And I've read all of their writings and letters and works and Federalist Papers and everything else that they've done. And they knew full well that this people would give away what they built. And they knew that if we could be responsible, if we would not be apathetic, if we would not cave in to the desires of socialism, to the weaknesses of human nature, that this would have been the New World Order. We have failed, not them. They gave us every chance, folks. So don't get mad at our forefathers. Would you concur with what I've just said?
I couldn't argue with you, and I wouldn't want to start an argument with you, Bill. I have heard high-level Masons refer to the United States in their writings and in person as a Mason nation. It was erected by them. If you look at the size of the Declaration of Independence, if you look at the forefathers, you'll see who was involved at the very beginning of this thing. And I'm not saying that all our forefathers were bad or evil. They certainly are not. They created the greatest nation ever known to man. But some of them were Illuminati, and there's no denying that. The course that they set us upon was in the end, self-defeating for us.
Okay, folks, don't go away. We've got to take our break. I'll be right back with William Morgan after this very short pause. Creedence Clearwater Revival, before you accuse me, you better look at yourself. Boy, does that apply on this program, you Freemasons out there. All members of all the secret societies that are subverting the Constitution of the United States, the Bill of Rights, I call them cockroaches. I don't know what the rest of you call them, but that's what they are. They claim to be looking for the light, but every time you turn the light on them, they scurry under the sink, run for cover. It occurs to me that I need to tell you folks out there something. This young man who's on this program is a member of the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, and there are literally hundreds of brave men and women all over this country and the world who are gathering information, bringing the truth out into the open. We are all working for freedom. It is the largest and most successful civilian intelligence gathering organization in the world. And our goal is freedom, to preserve freedom in this country, the United States, preserve the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, because it's the last bastion, the last wall between us and freedom, and try to institute freedom in all of the rest of the world. That's our only purpose. Our only purpose. We are in support of freedom for all peoples, everywhere. This young man on the show has risked his life to tell you what he's telling you tonight, and if his identity were ever to be discovered, he could be murdered. by the secret societies that he is revealing. He is one of my heroes. Most of the people in CADGI who are helping us to do this, most of them working in intense secret, in dangerous situations. We have people who have infiltrated satanic organizations and are feeding us the information on their rituals and who they are and what they're all about. And the instant that they were to be discovered, they would be murdered. You don't seem to understand that this organization that I've built, the Citizens Agency for Joint Intelligence, is vital